Acts 11, we're going to be in a couple of different places, but mainly in Acts 11 and beginning, I forgot what I told the guys, maybe 20 or 19, I can't remember. Thank you guys, that was great. I won't say pinch hitting because you guys are always up here, but thank you for filling in for David and his sickness. It's great to be back here. Let me ask you a question though, to get us started this morning. What is one of the easiest things to do physically? Now, and we're thinking, you know, in church related here, what is one of the easiest things to do physically, yet hardest for us mentally and spiritually? Now, obviously, there could be more than one answer to this, but the answer that I'm looking for this morning is encouragement. It's real easy physically to do that. It's real easy to pull your phone out and text somebody and say, hey, just thinking about you, praying for you, you look nice today, love you, stuff like that. It's real easy to give somebody a hug when you see them. It's real easy actually to even buy someone's meal and things like that. Those are easy physically, but yet it's hard on us spiritually and mentally. And why is that? It's because of our mindset. It's because of we don't want to put the focus on someone else. We want to keep the focus on ourselves. It's not that we just wake up and go, I'm not going to be an encouragement today. I'm going to be a discouragement to somebody. We don't wake up and say that. But when we wake up and everything that we think about is on ourselves, then we're not going to be an encouragement to anyone. We're looking at disciples. As we take this brief break, we looked at what a disciple is in the first part of the year. We transitioned starting in the fall to what is discipleship. And so in between, we're looking at some disciples in the New Testament. Remember, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. It doesn't have to be the 12 apostles. We're looking at different disciples. We're looking at some men, some women. One of them that we're going to look at today is a guy by the name of Barnabas. Whose name, he was Joseph, and then Barnabas, remember they had two names. They'd have a Greek name and a Jewish name, and his name literally meant son of encouragement. And when you read everything about Barnabas, everything that you see basically in the Bible is that he was an encouragement to others. So let's go to Acts chapter 11. 19 says, now those who were scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. So there was this persecution, and then all the church scattered, and at the beginning they were only telling the Jews about Jesus. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. So now we have some people that are telling people other than the Jews. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turn to the Lord. So the Gentiles are responding to the gospel. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. So people are coming to know Jesus, and the church in Jerusalem, which is the first church, hears about it. So they send someone to minister to them. They send someone to disciple them. They send someone to teach them doctrine. And the person that they send out of all the church is Barnabas. This is not happenstance. They did this for a reason, because Barnabas was a great encouragement. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, and he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Listen to this description of Barnabas. Wouldn't this be good for us? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas, so what's happened is he goes, he's starting to minister at the church, he's starting to serve, he's starting to disciple people. So then he realizes, I need some more help. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. So here's what's happened. Saul has converted. Saul has become a Christian. He then goes and spends 3 years in Arabia in the desert where God can reveal his word to him. And then Warren Wiersbe says this is about 7 more years go by. So it's about 10 years into Paul's Christianity that Barnabas goes and gets him and brings him back. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church. And taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So they're sending their gifts by Barnabas and Saul to encourage these people who are going through a famine. So today, I want us to look at this, Barnabas. And there's several traits, and I even tried to alliterate them for you so you can stay awake this morning. But I want us to look at this, that what Barnabas does, but then look at it how in our own lives we might be an encouragement to others. But before we go, we have to understand this. Romans 12, if you guys have put that up, there are some spiritual gifts that Paul lists in the New Testament. There's Romans 12, there's 1 Corinthians 12. And I know people say this. I've heard people say it. I'm just not an encourager. That's not an excuse. Now, it is a spiritual gift. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. That's preaching. If it is serving, then serve. I've heard people say, well, that's not my gift. I don't serve. That's you're misreading this. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, the older translations say exhortation. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. Leading and so on and so on. I've heard people say this. My spiritual gift's not giving. Doesn't mean you don't tithe. Honestly. Doesn't mean that. That's Jesus never said, if you have a spiritual gift of giving, you give. Jesus says, let each one give according to his means. He also said, don't neglect tithing. You Pharisees, you want to do all this, but don't neglect the weightier issues. Don't neglect the mercy and the love, but you also should tithe. Just because you don't have the gift of giving doesn't mean that you don't give. Those are certain people, and there's some in this church. That means every time they're with somebody, they're buying lunch. Every time they're giving gifts to people, they go crazy at Christmas. They have the gift of giving. Those are people you want to be friends with, okay? Just trust me. I'm just telling you, those are good people to be around. They have the gift of giving. Now, and I'll pick at Dad as much as anybody, but Dad has the gift of giving. I mean, he will literally give you the shirt off his back. He's always giving something to somebody and paying for something and doing something. And in fact, people will tell him, you need to quit doing all this. And he's just going to give. So because you don't have the gift of giving, there are people in his church who tithe and are good givers. They give scripturally, but they don't have the gift of giving. That means they're not just going crazy with it. We all are called to encourage people. But some people, and you know them, have the gift. They just light up the room. They encourage people when they are always bragging on people. They're always telling them encouraging things. That doesn't mean we're all exempt. So understand that going forward. But let's look at a couple things that Barnabas did. First of all, he encouraged people by giving. Flip over to Acts 4. We're not going to do too much extra scripture, but Acts 4, 36 and 37 says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This was at the first church. This is not socialism. That's a whole different sermon that we may get to because of the way this country is going. It is not socialism. It was not forced. It would be the equivalent of me selling my house today and saying, you know what, I'm going to downsize. I'm going to give all this money to missions. Nobody's making Barnabas do it. He sold his property, he brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, do with it what you want, disperse it, give it to the people who are in need. So he encouraged people by giving. When I talk to missionaries, especially ones that we support, a couple of them called me last year, and one of them was crying over a gift that we had given them because they were encouraged by giving. If you don't think people are encouraged when you give them stuff, you're wrong. But, and look, this isn't a sermon on tithing or anything like that, but we have to be open to that. We have to be, when we go to Chick-fil-A or wherever we go, we have to be open and sensitive to the needs around us and our friends that may be struggling financially. When God says, hey, just encourage somebody by giving, but also, I want you to note it, flip back to 11 and go to 11:23, and here it says, when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad, which is what the NIV says now, and encourage them. He encouraged people by being glad. That's a G, because if you're taking notes, and some of you do, we've got giving and glad. This is basically worship. He encouraged people by worshiping. He encouraged people by praising God. Now, you don't stand up here. It's honestly not that bad on my end. If I see you sleeping, I just look over you. If I see you clipping your nails, then it's kind of distracting. But nothing is more disheartening for the music people than for all of you to stand there like this. I mean, they are encouraged when you worship, when you sing with them. And we've had talks with the music people. Dave and I've had long talks in the last few weeks about this. And they try to do it. They try to get songs that you like and you'll sing so that you will worship. But when you worship and you're out there, you encourage people around you. But it's not just in here. It's a worship attitude. When you are glad, when you're cheerful, you hear me say this, nobody wants to be around a grump. Nobody wants to be around that guy. Well, you know, I won the lottery, but I got to pay a lot of taxes on it. Nobody wants to be around that person. Okay? People want to be around people who encourage. So Barnabas encouraged by giving, encouraged by being glad. Then he also encouraged other people, and they're growing. Look at what he does in 22 and 24. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. This is our lesson in Bible study, is about discipleship. Barnabas encouraged people to grow in their faith. Remember, discipleship is not somebody having it all figured out. It's somebody being a little bit ahead of you. Barnabas said, I'm a little bit ahead of these people spiritually. I'm going to encourage them to walk. I'm going to encourage them to read God's Word. One of the things that we do at staff meeting every week is I ask them, are you up to date on your Bible reading? Because that's my job. It's not to chew them out. It's to encourage them in their walk. Because if they're not getting fed by the Word of God, then they're not growing. And then if they're not growing, how can they lead you? That's the same with me. If I come in here and preached every week and never read God's Word, then I'm misleading you. And so Barnabas, he didn't chew them out, but he encouraged them in their walk. Somebody in your life may need that encouragement. It may be your spouse. Maybe somebody at work, maybe your children. Encourage them to grow in their spiritual faith. And then go back to 11:22. News of this reached the ears of a church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas. They sent Barnabas because they knew him, but Barnabas was willing to go. So he encouraged people in his giving. He encouraged people in his gladness, in his growing, but also in his going. He encouraged people. When I went on the trip to Asia and through Open Doors, and one of the things that we talked about with the people there, and if you read, I think it's The Insanity of God by Nick Ripken, and he talks about stories in there about how it's when people are overseas and they're living in these third world countries, or not even third world, but they just live in these heavily persecuted areas. One of the things that shocks them and amazes them is that when they hear people are praying for them, that people are actually taking on their story. That's why we give to Open Doors USA. That's why we give to places like Vietnam, who they don't have the support we have inside the church. They don't have the, I know we don't get any governmental support, but their government is much worse than ours when it comes to persecution. They don't have any of that. So we encourage people when we go to Guatemala or wherever we go. A lot of times we have the wrong mindset. I understand that. But the people are just amazed when we build them houses that we would actually take time out of our lives and build them houses. Sometimes it's not as tough as going to Guatemala. Sometimes it's going to your neighbor's house. Sometimes it's going to somebody in church who may be shut in. Just paying them a visit encourages people, and Barnabas was willing to do that. But then also, he encouraged people with the grace that he shows, which is the fifth G. And I'm getting close, man. I'm marking fast today. Go to Acts 15:36. Let me show you something here. This is kind of weird here. Not weird, but sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing." That's missionary trip number two. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him. Why? Because Mark had left him. He had left him on the first missionary journey, got a little homesick. He came back because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commending by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, here's the thing, and Dad said a long time ago, and I agree with him. If you go on a mission trip, first of all, Paul's probably the greatest Christian to ever live other than Jesus, but if you go on a mission trip, I'd really go with Barnabas. I'm just saying. Now, I'm not wired like Paul. Some of you want to go with Paul. Paul's the kind that's going to get you on a certain schedule, and you're going to be up at 5 a.m., and you're going to work, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. If you don't do it his way, you can come back to America. That's just what he's going to tell you. Barnabas is probably going to be a little more easygoing, obviously. Now, I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong in this, but Barnabas showed Mark some grace. He said, look, he was a kid. He made a mistake. He's ready now. Let's take him back. The interesting thing is, go to Acts 9:27. This is the interesting thing about all this. Or 26 and 7. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. That's Paul. But they were all afraid of him. Why? Because he'd been killing Christians, not believing he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Paul's wanting to join the circle. He's wanting to be in there, Peter and all those guys, and they're like, no, we don't want none of you. And who stands up for him? Barnabas. He goes, no, look, guys, I'll vouch for him. Wouldn't you think that would run through Paul's head a few years later when he goes, hey, this guy stood up for me, and so let me give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not getting on Paul. I'm just showing you how Barnabas extends grace to people. Now, understand this. There are some things that maybe have happened in your life. Maybe they've happened around you. Maybe they don't even have anything to do with you. But you just maybe have a hard attitude towards somebody. Maybe God's telling you this morning you need to extend a little grace to some people. Look, people make dumb decisions. We all do. Every day, I make dumb decisions. Some are dumber than others for people. I understand that. Some don't have long-term consequences like some do. You know, I made a lot of bad decisions on vacation, okay? You know why? I don't know how it's humanly possible that I gained 10 pounds in like 10 days. I don't know how that happens. You won't be seeing a tie anytime soon. I'm just telling you right now because I can't fit in any pants but this pair, okay? You'll be seeing this pair of khakis for a while. I was bragging to Mandy and Lori how I'd lost weight like 2 months ago. Literally, in the month of June, I was like, man, I'm below 200 for the first time since my trip to Asia. And my life just kind of got messed up. And I'm like 199. I weighed the last day of vacation. It was 211.5. I'm like, how is that even humanly possible? I can tell you how it's possible. A lot of bad decisions. A lot of Coca-Cola, a lot of desserts and meals, going through Disney World and having to try every dessert at every nation there was. I'm just going to tell you, that German popcorn is pretty good. The Italian gelato is pretty good. I mean, I think I ate dessert in every nation, and I was miserable and I was hungry and wasn't hungry, just kept eating. Those are bad decisions, okay? But those don't maybe compared to what some of you have done or maybe somebody you know. And, you know, you want to hear even worse bad decisions is put a family of four in a hotel room for 12 days. I mean, there's going to be massive fights. I mean, I know some of y'all, oh, we don't fight. Well, you're cyborgs then, okay? Because we had some good ones, all right? I'm just not going to lie to you. And there were times where I'd have to go to the bathroom or the shower or to the balcony or somewhere and be like, all right, Lord, I need a lot of help. I need a lot of forgiveness because I'm not being a good father. I'm being a stumbling block. And all these things. And so I made decisions there that were obviously worse because my kids could look at me and go, boy, he snapped over nothing. A lot worse than he eats some German popcorn. That's a sin. They're not thinking like that. They're thinking, man, he got mad over nothing. And so I asked forgiveness from them. I asked forgiveness from them. But then you can go even further than that. Maybe some of you have made real bad decisions. Or again, maybe somebody you know has. And we just need to extend a little grace to them. Because that's what Barnabas did. I remember when I was 14 years old, Dad was working over at Glenn Miller's house that day, Miss Judy. He was working over there doing something. And it's back when we were going to live on craze. And so I honestly was 14. Dad had the old Isuzu truck, if you remember. And I was riding, we were hauling tin, about 20 foot tin. And I don't know anything now. Certainly didn't know anything then. And the person that was driving was like, hey, let me drive. And he's like, nah, you don't need to. Your dad might get mad. I was like, no, let me drive. He was 16 or 17. So I get behind the wheel and we're hauling this tin. And I noticed the trailer starts swaying because I'm doing like 55 miles an hour pulling tin. I don't know. I'm 14. I shouldn't have been driving. So the trailer starts swaying. The trailer goes off the road, hits a culvert, jerks the tailgate off, not the tailgate, the bumper off. Somehow the trailer stayed connected. Like the ball was like right here and the tailgate part and all that was over there. I'm not lying when I tell you this. There was tin in the top of 60-foot oak trees everywhere. I'm looking up. I'm like, oh, my. I'm shaking. The first guy that comes by goes, he looks, he goes, well, you got a mess. And I said, yeah, I know. He goes, I can help you with one thing. And he takes out, I remember vividly, took out a 2x4 and he knocks down on the ball, the bumper, and it comes loose in the trailer. He said, now I can't help you with your daddy because you're going to probably have to go answer to him. I was like, yeah. So I remember going back over to Mr. Glenn and Ms. Gail's house. And I remember walking back up the driveway and he could tell by my look, I'm walking. He goes, what happened? I said, well, I know I wasn't supposed to, but I was driving. And, you know, you can picture the look in Dad's face. And I said, and I had a wreck. And I think we lost all the tin. I said, it's in trees. And I'm braced. I'm thinking, I know he's a preacher, but he's about to hit me. And so I still remember this to this day. He goes, are you okay? And I said, yeah. He goes, all right. He goes, I can get a new truck. He goes, it looks like you messed it up pretty good. I said, the back end's pretty good. He said, I can get a new truck, but I can't get a new son. He said, as long as you're okay, we'll work out the rest. And I thought, that's grace. Okay, at the time, I didn't think that. I do now. At the time, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. He got back at me, though. I had to drive that Isuzu truck, and it was wrecked to pieces. And so Holly remembers it. She had to ride like right by her brother on the way to school because the one door wouldn't even open. And so it was weird. But, you know, as I thought about that, I thought, man, I needed some grace in my life that day. Somebody just may need some grace in your life. Just extend it to them. And here's the last one. Go back to 11, 25, and 26. It says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church in great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. He extended grace by giving to people, by being glad, by growing, by going, by offering grace, and then by getting others involved. You know, it would have been easy for Barnabas to say, I got this. But he knew Paul, and he knew Paul was more of a hardline type A than him. He knew that he was going to need some help. So he went and got Paul, who really Barnabas can be one of his disciples, because Barnabas could be his mentor, because he's been displaying grace to him and teaching him things. So he goes and gets others involved. We are called to encourage people in that manner. We are called to go share the gospel. We are called to get more people involved. We are called to bring the younger generation along with us. We are not called to do it all on our own and say, you know what, I don't have time to mess with anybody because I got to get my job done at church. No, it's that, hey, let's pull people in with us. Getting others involved, sometimes that's what people need. Sometimes they wander through church and we never speak to them, and all they're wanting is to be involved in a Sunday school class or be involved in a ministry of some sort. And so that's what Barnabas did. Now, here, how do we do this for us? How do we be an encouragement? Let's go back to, or before we do, let me backtrack to my question or my statement. What's one of the hardest things for us to do, but and yet the easiest? And here's why. It's easy, again, to call somebody and go, you know what, God laid you on my heart today. I'm praying for you. I love you. You've always been an encouragement to me. It's easy to text. It's easy to buy a meal. It's easy to go make a visit physically. It's easy to do, to just give somebody a hug. I had probably 5 women come up and hug me today, honestly told me, I'm glad you're back. I know a lot of you are thinking, I'm not glad you're back. That's okay. Okay? All 5 of those women meant it, and I like that. And they're like, I missed you. I'm glad you're back. It's not hard to give somebody a hug. I know it is for some of you because you don't hug, okay? But it's not that hard physically. But why is that? Why is calling, texting, all those things hard for us spiritually and mentally? It goes back to, let's read in 25 and 6 again. I think it is. Let me make sure I got this right. No, 24, I'm sorry. 11, 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So how do we do it? The only way we do it is if we walk in the Spirit. Because the flesh is not going to ever challenge us to encourage people. The reason it's hard for us is because when we wake up, we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about our day. We're thinking about our children. We're thinking about our 401k. We're thinking about our vacation. We're thinking about what we're going to do. But when we walk in the Spirit, we actually notice things. We notice other people are hurting. We notice that people need a visit. We notice that they may need a hug. We notice that maybe they've been missing. We need to text them. They notice all those things. The only way we do it is if we walk in the Spirit, like Barnabas did. And when we walk in the Spirit, we become more humble, and the humility pushes all of our desires away. Now, you know, I've tried this in the past, where I will say, hey, I'm just going to start doing this. I'm going to start, you know, whatever, reading the Bible more intently. I'm going to start encouraging people. I'm going to start this. And it goes good for a while, right? You know what I'm talking about. And then it kind of fades. And then it's been times in my life where I've actually died to myself and said, God, I need your help. I need you to guide me, Holy Spirit. I need you to present people for me to share the gospel with. Give me the hunger for to read your word of God. Help me to encourage people. And when I do that, when I get plugged in with my walk with Christ, when I start being Spirit-led, I find out that it's so much easier to do. So this morning, as we get ready to wrap this up, this is just where I want us to go with this. Where are you at spiritually? Are you a disciple? Are you following Jesus? If you are, then you should be doing these things. You should be encouraging people in some of these. The only way we're able to do it is through Jesus Christ. And go back to that last one. We should all be encouraging people to get to know Jesus, because that's what we're called to do. So if you're here this morning and you just, you're right the opposite, you've really been a discouragement, then I won't give you an opportunity to get that right. Would you stand, please? Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Somebody's going to come. Here comes Coach. He's going to play something. And if he does sing, I don't know how we'll do it this morning. If he sings, you want to sing with him, you go right ahead. If not, then you just pray where you're at. As when he begins to play, we're going to get to it quick this morning. This is what I want you to know. It's very simple. First and foremost, we're all challenged. We're all biblically mandated to encourage people to come to Christ. The only way we can do this is live in encouragement is through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I know some non-believers who are encouraging. They can't sustain it through the long haul without a walk with Jesus Christ. They can't do it without walking in the Spirit, just like none of us can. We don't want to be the people in the restaurants or at the ball fields or at the workplace that are discouragements. We want to encourage people. People are hurting. People are in need. People need Jesus. We want to encourage people in their walk. If you're here this morning and God's laid something on your heart, you get it right. I'll be down front as Coach plays and sings. You join him.